We continue here in our study of the book of Ezekiel, and here in chapters, three chapters, 29, 30, and 31, and 32, the Lord has turned his attention to Egypt to prophesy against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and against all Egypt in chapter 29. Son of man, in chapter 30, he tells about the day of the heathen and Egypt being at the top of the list and dealing with them. In chapter 31, he tells Ezekiel to speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and makes challenges him, them, if you will. I believe it's talking to all those leaders of Egypt to compare themselves against Assyria and how the Lord brought Assyria down, and how can they stand against the Lord. They need the Lord. They can't stand against the Lord. And then chapter 32, we see here the lamentation taken up against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and how it is with Egypt and Pharaoh, those leaders of that nation, that as they are brought down to the pit, and that's what the Lord says, as they are brought down, they're brought low, they will not be alone. The Lord is making an example out of Egypt and out of other nations. He says in this chapter, in chapter 32, that Assyria is going to be there. The Medes and the Persians are going to be there. The Scythians are going to be there. The Zidonians, the Edomites, they're going to be there. Because they've stood against the Lord, they've stood against his nation. Yes, he has used them, even some of these, to chastise his nation. But those that are against the Lord's people and those that are against the work of the Lord will not stand. There's no future for them. That's what we see. We see over and over again, for those that are against the Lord, there's no future. Next, we would take a look at chapter 33. But for this afternoon, I want us to go over to another prophet, Isaiah, and take a look at what Brother Isaiah is given by the Lord. And of course, you remember, I'll take a look here at the beginning so I tell you right. I try to commit it to memory, but my memory doesn't like to commit things committed to it as well as it used to. Brother Isaiah, he's there in Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, which are kings of Judah. He's a man that's on the scene there at Jerusalem in those parts, there in the nation of Judah. He's a prophet called to them. In chapter 19, we see something here that we see in the book of Isaiah about burdens, where the Lord talks to Ezekiel and says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation, or speak to this king, or speak to these people, this nation." It's different with Isaiah. Isaiah is, it's the same, but the wording is different. The Lord gives him, as he writes, he's oppressed of the Holy Spirit of God, to have these burdens. And Isaiah 19, here's the burden of Egypt. This is what Egypt is going to bear. This is what's in the Lord's heart, if you will, to do. And we see that in other passages in Isaiah about what's in the Lord's heart to do to his enemies. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." And I tell you what, it does all well to not be on the receiving end of that vengeance. Well to be one of the ones that is being avenged than to be on the receiving end of the vengeance and the wrath of God Almighty. If you're here and you're not saved, our Lord says to you plainly, repent of your sins and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. There's coming a day where the Lord is going to quit, his eye is going to quit quivering and winking, as the scripture says, at sin. And he's going to come to the end of his long suffering. And he's going to pour out his wrath upon sin and sinners and rebellious nations and people in a rebellious world. And it will be like, unlike anything that has ever been known or seen, and all the worst that the world has ever experienced. Our Lord destroyed the world once by water. He will not do that again. But he will destroy wicked, unrepentant sinners, impenitent sinners, and this old world by fire, one way or the other. And so don't stand against the Lord. Don't mock the long suffering and the grace of the Lord that has appeared unto all men, in that the gospel goes forth. And you that are here that are unrepentant and without Christ as Savior, the gospel has been brought forth to you time and time again. You need the Lord. And the Lord has not been unkind in withholding that call of the gospel and the salvation through Jesus Christ from you. He's not withheld that as far as the preaching of it and the delivering of it. And it is a command. It's not a suggestion. Hear the word of the Lord. And as our brother preached there, as we see in the book of Acts, save yourself from this twisted generation, because this spirit that's at hand in our nation that is causing these to riot in the streets and to say they will not stand for any authority, they will not stand for any law, they want their way, they have a cause that they think is just, that's just based on unjust things and things that are against our Lord and against His way. Marriage being turned upside down and redefined, and the genders that God has created us in, and the order that He has set in that, and man taking all that, and all the other filthiness and wickedness of the world, God will bring to an end. And don't be found there against those, or don't be found with those that are against the Lord. Hear Him and believe Him. Our brother writes here, the Lord gives him this, the burden of Egypt, in Isaiah 19, verse number 1. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at His presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. We've looked over here in Ezekiel, and we've kind of pondered and wondered about how it is, namely a mention here that the Lord is going to make Egypt desolate for 40 years. And you know, it's we grapple with the scriptures. We try to understand what the Lord has said. You know, I brought a thing out to you that certainly by nuclear war, there could be a devastation of a land that could last for 40 years. That could happen. That would be something that we know of. And understand that the Antichrist is going to be one that's going to come up in those days, in those days and those years, to the final, the coming to the end of time. The Antichrist is going to come up as one that's among peers. He's going to be a leader, seemingly, of some nation, or he's going to have a connection with some nation. And he's going to be there, seemingly, to be equal, as from the standpoint of being leaders amongst the leaders of different nations that are at hand. But then it tells us in the scripture that he's going to rise up a little horn. He's going to have eyes. He's going to be different than the others. And he's going to pluck up three by the roots. He's going to take, if we understand that right, he's going to take three nations and conquer them fairly quickly. My point in that, and reminding us of that, is that there's going to be war on this earth. We can see things winding up and tightening up, can't we? We see this spirit that I mentioned earlier of rebellion and anarchy that's at hand. We see Europe falling apart. If it wasn't financially for Germany, Europe would have already fallen apart financially. Europe and England. England has said, we want out of that mess of the European Union. Why? Because they know it will drag them down. The misuse of that they gain from the EU will drag down the rest. They understand that. We see other things. We see all this strife with Islam and the Muslims all over the world. And then there's things going on in Asia that really don't make the news that are going on in that part of the world too. The world is just winding up. I mean, it's just winding up, and it's just like one more little piece of straw, one more little pop with a pen, and things could blow up in a hurry. Praise be to God, we have rest, that those hands are in the hands of our Lord. And even though the world may melt down and the way of man would melt down, we know that our Lord has not and will not forget us. And we need to have faith in Him about that. It's easy for me to say. I may need you to remind me of that someday, but that's the truth. The Lord is our hope. The Lord is our help. And so there is a time, other than in the millennial reign, that there could be in this warfare, in this time that there is warfare. Remember the three horses, four horses rather, in the book of the Revelation. And there is a conqueror is one of those. And there is that of pestilence and famine and death and plague that's at hand. A precursor to the great tribulation that we see that's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. The 70th week of Daniel that's going to be there as the Lord deals with the world and deals with His nation to bring Him back. That seemingly lead up to that could be a time that the Lord would do these things in Egypt. It could be a time then that the Lord would make, as He's promised over in Ezekiel, make the land of Egypt desolate, to where not the foot of a man or the foot of a beast would pass through. And that's really a stretch for us to consider that. A part of the world that nobody would pass through, especially at the crossroads of two continents like it is right there. But that's what the Lord has said. And so, as far as its impact upon us, with where we live here in our part of the world, it's, from what we understand, it's minor. But nevertheless, the Lord has said it. He has said it. And again, Egypt is mentioned here again. Verse number 4, "And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. And the waters shall fail from the sea." What is that that Egypt benefits from? Well, the Mediterranean. And I have a hard time remembering which way the Nile runs. When we were over west of the Mississippi, all things ran east. Now we come over here and it runs thing, you know, the rivers here run north and then run west. I'm getting indication that the Nile runs north into the Mediterranean. And then there is the Red Sea, and then there's the Gulf that's down there. I should have done that research beforehand. The Arabian Gulf. He says here, it's going to be dried up. But remember, the Nile is what Egypt trusted in. The Nile was what made Egypt great. Remember those references, how the Lord called Egypt a dragon, and the very fish that they gloried in and gave them great wealth and prosperity would become something that would be a foul to them, and that the fish would stick to their scales and the Lord would just bring them out on dry land, and they would be brought to nothing that way, and a great stench would go up. "The water shall fail from the sea, and the river shall be wasted and dried up." Hard to imagine that the Nile would ever be dry, isn't it? "And they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up, and the reeds and flags shall wither. How could that ever be, even in the worst time? The paper reeds by the brooks, by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brooks shall wither, be driven away, and no more. There'll be no food. No food. The fishers also shall mourn, and all they that cast angle into the brook shall lament, and they that spread nets upon the water shall languish. Why? There's nothing to fish. There's no water to float a boat. There's no water upon which to cast a net. There's no waters where fish that have been in abundance are even there. Moreover, they that work in the fine and fine flax, and they that weave networks shall be confounded. The plants that provide such are no more. And they shall be broken in the purposes thereof. All that makes sluices and ponds for fish off to the side from the Nile and those tributaries, they make... You ever eat any pond-raised catfish? Pond-raised catfish is good, isn't it? Because they keep the water clear and they control what they feed them. Especially if you have the right person fry it up. It's good. It's all gone. It's all gone. It's all gone. They shall be broken in the purposes thereof, all that make sluices and ponds for fish. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools, and the council of the wise counselors of Pharaoh is become brutish. How say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? All their wisdom will not have an answer. Because they prided themselves. Remember Pharaoh in his day when he stood up against the Lord and against Israel leaving? Moses would come and perform the miracles that he did, the signs that he did, and then Pharaoh would have the sorcerers and the magicians. They would do in kind for a while. And then they said, we can't do that. When Moses' rod turned into a serpent and ate up all of the wise men, sorcerers, serpents. Ooh. Even in a day of technology or a day of ability, the wisdom of the greatest in Egypt will become as fools. He says, how say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings, those that would be in standing and would be noted for having wisdom and good counsel in that, will be ashamed because they have none. Verse 12, where are they? Where are thy wise men? Let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts hath purposed upon Egypt. See these things going on? Wise men of Egypt, give us an answer. And they said, we don't have any answer. And the Lord says, I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started in my judgment upon this land. How did this come to pass? How could it be? You know, when there's a drought, who needs to be consulted? The Lord. We saw it this summer in our land. When there's too much rain, who needs to be consulted? It's our Lord. He's in control of all these things. Isn't that something, how we had the rain this season and it was right on time and a bumper crop, but so much rain that the farmers had mold problems, crop damage in the field, even though there was a bounty. Isn't that something? The Lord will not be mocked. He will not be played with. He will not be denied. Where are they? Where are thy wise men? Verse 12. And let them tell thee now, and let them know that the Lord of hosts, what the Lord of hosts hath purposed upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Naph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. He said, your wise men are as fools compared to the Lord. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. What? And they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Boy, that's a terrible picture, isn't it? Yeah, the Lord is so powerful that he can send a deceptive spirit amongst the wisest of the world. Well, that's not right for God to do that. Listen, who are we? Who is mankind to grab a hold of God's arm or shake our finger in God's face and say, what are you doing? We're not. We're the created. Why is Egypt bearing what Egypt is bearing? Because they have gone after other gods. They have not honored God Almighty. They have not trusted in the one. They have not found the one who is the creator of all, but yet they've chosen to worship the sun and the moon and the rivers and the bodies of the stars and of the sky and space. They've chosen to worship animals. Just read Romans chapter 1 all over again, isn't it? The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. That's his power. The Lord is able to send a spirit to the wisest amongst men and confound their wisdom and cause them to go a wicked way. You know something that's happened in our nation? Something that's happened in our nation is that in our lifetime, I believe that atheists, geologists have been believed about the amount of oil that our nation had in its reserves and ability. So therefore, in their wisdom, they told our government, we need to buy oil from abroad so we will not use up the little bit of oil that we have. And we have financed an enemy of the world. Because now we find out we've got more oil than the rest of the world does. Isn't that something? Rather than our government and rather than the people of our land saying, we've been blessed, and if we've got a need, we've got a shortage, let us go to the God of heaven for the answer. But no, they sought after their own wisdom, and they denied the Lord, and they trusted in these geologists that gave survey about what we had or what they thought we didn't have. And now it turns out, a handful of decades later, we've got more than we could burn in hundreds of years. Isn't that something, how that works? Go against God, it's going to cost. It's mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. They've caused Egypt to err in every work thereof. Every way. That's what's going on with our nation. Every way we turn, every decision that we make. We've got a military where there's planes that can't even fly because our administration and the budgeting and the money that's been spent on senseless things. Now we don't even have pilots. We don't have the wherewithal to be able to fly what we have. A perverse spirit. A trusting in self. To err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Again, that's a terrible picture, but that's what it is. That's an issue comes up. You and I hear it. We hear it on the news. And the answer would be simple. We would say a common sense answer would be at hand. And for 3 days or 4 days or a week, you hear them mauling and wondering and whining about what it is in the world that it is that we can do. And there's so many parties to not offend. There's so many of this not to do. And usually the answer is take a wad of money and throw at it, and then we still got the problem. Go away from the Lord. Verse number 15, neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, branch or rush may do. There'll be no way they can even work themselves out of it. If all of the land would just go down to be into servitude, there's nothing to do. No work. In that day shall Egypt be likened to women, and it shall be afraid for fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. Who is it that's sent into battle? Who is it that is given to defend and to fight against the enemy? It's the men. It's the men of the land. And the Lord has made men to where they can have courage and they know and understand that that's their responsibility to do and to even give of themselves. It's not called upon for women to fight. But the Lord says that all are going to become like women, that would be afraid of the fight, would be afraid of what's going on because the Lord is shaking his hand. He's just shaking his hand over it. Verse number 17. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. At what times has Egypt really ever been afraid of Judah? But you know, let's go back and review. Of course, the Egyptians had a little bit of fear about the Hebrews rising up and overtaking them. That's the reason they dealt with them subtly and put them to task. Then they did fear Israel when the Lord did his marvelous works and they left Egypt. But then in that roaming in the wilderness that they did because of their disobedience, Egypt was rebuilding. Really didn't think about Israel. Israel goes into the land of Canaan, and then they're taking out the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. Egypt may have had some fear then, returned of what the Lord was doing with them. But then you think about the time of the judges. Israel was there in the land of Canaan for how many hundred of years? Just struggling to obey the Lord and take the land that he'd promised Abraham. Egypt had no threat, did he? Because Israel was hard-pressed at times to handle just what they had in the lap. Saul became king, and he was given some prosperity against the Philistines and others there in the land. But Egypt wouldn't be concerned. Then David rose up. The Lord raised him up. Egypt might have had some fear during the day of David. Because the Lord blessed David, because the Lord honored God and followed God, didn't he? And then what about the day of Solomon? Well, in the beginning of the day of Solomon, Egypt sent gifts to Israel. Because in that day, there was no nation like Israel. And then after that, the dividing of the kingdom and so on. Egypt had no fear. But in that day, the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid of himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. What do you think about Judah? Does Israel have a future? They sure do, because their future's in the Lord. What about Egypt? Oh, no, don't let them look this way. Don't let them have a plan to come this way. Because the Lord of hosts is on their side. The Lord of hosts has taken up their counsel. Because the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it, against Egypt. Verse 18, in that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan. And swear to the Lord of hosts, one shall be called the city of destruction. You know, according to the boundaries that the Lord described to Abraham, if my memory serves me correct, they come down all the way to the Nile, if I remember right. Need to look that up. Very near to where, they're getting close. And who's stopped them? Who's been able to stop them from coming this far? Who's been able to stop them from coming this far, they would say. In that day, verse 19, there shall be an altar unto the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt. Isn't that something? And a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord that honors the Lord. Not Egyptian false wicked gods, but a pillar at the border of Egypt to honor the Lord. An altar in the midst of the land of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. Verse 20. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. Is that talking about Egypt? Well, seems like, that's what it is. When will this be? When will this be that Egypt will cry unto the Lord? And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. Wow, we've not heard anything like that before, have we? Isn't it just like the Lord to take his enemy and make him his friend? As we've said, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said in the fulfilling of the law, love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what Jesus has done. The greatest, the one that had the greatest deception. We've read it in Ezekiel. Remember about how it was as the Lord talked about Israel being following a harlot way, and first at the beginning in her youth, as the Lord said, committed adultery with Egypt. That the Lord would even take that land in which his nation was defiled with and take them and touch them and change their heart and turn them to the Lord. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? When is it that our Lord will do this? And the Lord, verse 21, shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. They'll be obedient to him. They'll honor him. Their gods that they've trusted in, the Nile that they've trusted in, that God Almighty has dried up, they will turn from them and be turned to the Lord. Yeah, even Egypt. The worst one, the one that had the greatest impact, the one that was abusive to Jacob as he went down into the land of Egypt and they sojourned in that land for 215 years, if we understand it. And they were kind in the beginning, but then there was a new king in Egypt, a new Pharaoh in Egypt that didn't know Joseph, didn't know that kindness, didn't honor Joseph and his Lord that had delivered Egypt out of famine, and they turned on him, and they were cruel, and the Lord is being merciful yet to that land and to that nation. Verse 22, and the Lord shall smite Egypt. He shall smite and heal it, and they shall return even to the Lord. And he shall be entreated of them. They'll be able to come to the Lord. Will you help us? He will hear. They won't go to their gods of the past. They'll come to the Lord. Will you help us? He'll say yes. He said, and they shall be entreated of them. He shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. Verse number 24, in that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts, verse 25, shall bless, saying, listen, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. I tell you what, I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know what all it's going to be, but you know what? I know it's going to be. See, remember, it is Egypt that represents where you and I have been brought from. We who are Gentiles, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, right? Isn't that what the Scripture says? We, like the Lord has promised Egypt, have been brought near. Just like the Lord's promise that Egypt be brought near. Egypt's pretty bad, Brother Jim. Yeah, that's it. We're bad too. We've been bad too. We've been against the Lord and His work also. Can you think that the Lord would bring the Assyrians? But he says there'll be a blessing there, doesn't he? Praise be to God. for the mercy of the Lord. And so we wanted to take a look at this chapter and just put this in here for us to consider, for us to chew on, if you will, and ask our Lord about it. When could it be? Is it a time there before the end? Is it during the millennial reign? When will it be that our Lord will do these things? I'm not of the opinion to take the Word of God and spiritualize it. We don't need to spiritualize anything until it is just absolutely no way to take it literally. And so I believe that this is a literal thing that the Lord has given. This is the Lord's burden for Egypt, that He's given His prophet. Lord willing, next time we'll take a look back over here in Ezekiel in chapter 33, where there is this principle of the watchman. This principle of the watchman. And this applies to all of us. This principle of the watchman applies to each and every one of us. And then by degrees to brethren that have gone in the past, and then pastors and preachers, men of God, the Lord's church. I think there's a number of ways of application of this about the watchman, and certainly it applied to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was called of the Lord to speak the truth. I was called upon to preach and have a part in this funeral service yesterday, and I appreciate your prayers for me. And there's always a desire that people have in funerals. There's all kinds of different motives at times. You know, as a man called of God to be a preacher and a pastor of one of His churches, my calling and my obligation to the Lord is to tell people the truth. And I pray that I did. I want to. I desire to. And I tell you what, it can be a fearful thing to face a family. They're struck with the grief that they have regarding their loved one, and the desire to only want to have good things. And I'm not speaking either way about that one that had died, but this is just a thing that's at hand with people. But you know what they need is they need the truth. They need the truth, and we need to give it to them in love. But they do need the truth, because as a man of God, as a pastor of the Lord, I'm called to be a watchman that way, to warn. Eternity's coming. Eternity's coming. Don't be wallowing around and doing your own thing on the broad way. We need the narrow way that is Christ. Don't live your life for yourself. Live it for the Lord. Find the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him. We pray He'll save. He'll work. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction. But the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the way, the one that leads into life. And so may we, in the capacity that we're called, may we be a good watchman. And we'll look more at that next time.